So let's go ahead and grab our Bibles and let's turn to page 738, I believe. We're going ahead, 738 in our Bibles. And while we're going there, I'm just going to even just kind of talk about what does the word pursue mean? Because I can say and pursue God, pursue this and all that different stuff, but I just kind of want to give you guys just even a definition of what pursue even means. So we're going to throw that up on the screen. The first one is just says, man, to pursue is to follow in order to seize or to overtake, all right? To follow closely upon or to seek after, okay? So that's what pursuing means. And so you can pursue a lot of things, all right? So for me, in my younger days, right, I pursued my wifey, my boo-boo, right? I pursued her. I saw her one day, and I was like, who is that fine dime piece? Oh, but yeah, right? So, and I was like, I think I want to holler at her. So I went and hollered at her, and now we're married with three kids. All right, so there was something about her that I liked, her craziness. She was so silly. Her honesty, she's just raw. Just, you know, who she is who she is with everyone, whether you're the president or whether you're a homeless person. Like, that's who he is. I love that about her. And I just was like, man, I don't want to know this person. And so I pursued that. It got to a point where I was like, man, I want to make her mine permanently. So I pursued her in that way. I proposed to her, right? And she said yes. And so, I mean, there was a thing about her that I loved. And so, man, I was like, I mean, I'm going to seize that. That sounds kind of strong, though, so we won't say that. I'll just say I sought after her. I pursued her. That sounds better than I followed in order to seize and overtake her, right? We'll just say I pursued her with love. That sounds better. All right, so just all that just to say, right? Some guys were like, no, I'm doing that. I'm going to see. No. All that just to say that, man, you pursue the things that you love, right? I mean, that's just like a simple thing. The things that you love, man, you pursue, right? So, and that's just a simple way. Just like I put that in the context of relationship, but that's just what we kind of do, right, in life. The things we love, you know, man, the things that we desire, that's what we go after. So Zach is going to click over two times for me. He's going to help me out. There we go. All right, so I got this quote, and you've seen this quote before as like a quote like for worship. We talked about worship. But it can really apply even when you put it in this way. And all it simply says is, man, what we love the most will determine what we genuinely pursue. So, all right, so you can look at your life and you can say, man, the things that I really love, those are the things that I'm like genuinely running after. Those are the things I'm truly desiring, and like the actions in my life are for me to follow that thing that I want. Right? So whatever it may be, whatever that desire may be, your actions are following your desire, like whatever you want to happen. All right, so for Ivory, he wants to be a dope basketball player. All right, so you can, he said he already is, right? So he's done pursuing that. I heard that whisper. No, he is a dope player. But he wants to be even better, right? So he's going to pursue the things that make him better, right? Even Alicia, she can dunk on Ivory, but we'll just leave that conversation alone. Right? This, she has a desire, right, to be good in basketball. Like, so she's going to pursue the steps that are going to make her better, right? So and those are not bad things. When we talk about that, those are not bad things. So we'll say that, but when we're talking about pursuing God, right, and like how we were made to pursue after him, like even in our own lives, like we can look and say there's things that we chase in order to like fill a void in our life, right? So there's some things that we go after that are cool, they're fun, right? And there's some things that we go after to kind of to fill a void that only God can fill, right? Because we were made to follow, we were made to worship him. Like even in the Garden of Eden, man, they were made to be in relationship with him, right? That they were made to pursue that. And there's nothing on earth that can fill that hole, right? That's required for God to fill. And we try to fill it with different things, with relationships sometimes, and with other people, like them telling us like what we want to hear, the approval of other people. We kind of search after those things to fill that hole, because there's something about us that made us to pursue, to run after. Like, man, but sometimes we kind of chase after other things that can't give us what we need. Only God can give us that. All right, so we'll say that, but sometimes, like our actions, right? So we can say, man, I love God. I think a lot of people in this room will say, man, I love God. Right? I can say, I love my wife. I'm the only person in the room that loves my wife the way I do, right? So you can say, somebody laugh. The way that I do as a husband only can. But I think a lot of people will say in the room that they love God, right? But sometimes, right, our actions may say otherwise, right? Because you can say for me, and I love my wife, and I knew it. He, you know, I proposed for her. You know, I did all these things, and continue to do things for her because I love her, man. So I'm pursuing her. But sometimes we can say out loud, man, I love God, but sometimes our actions can say, man, that we're going another route. So I said it like this. Sometimes our feet go against what our mouths are saying. Sometimes our feet can go against what our mouths are saying. So sometimes you can be like, man, yeah, man, I really love God, man, I really do. But where you're walking is in places where God doesn't want you to be. You're going into situations and dealing with things where God wouldn't want you to be. That's not his desire for you. So even though you say out of your mouth, man, I love God, something else is happening, right? You're going another place. So for me, if I say, man, I love my kids, right? I love them. I'm going to be a good father if I say that. But at every chance, I turn away from spending time with them, right? I'm being a hypocrite because I'm saying that, man, I'm going to be a good father. I love my kids. But at every turn, right, I have no desire to spend any time with them to, actually father them and love them. Right? So sometimes that can happen with us, man. We can kind of say things, but, our feet are going into other places, right? So what I just want to ask you guys is just a couple of questions real fast. Right? When you look at your life, would you say that you're pursuing after God? When you look at your own life, I just want you to examine your own life. Just look at it right now. Would you say, I'm running after God? And would you say, man, what are you valuing the most in your life, right? So if you look at your life right now, so here's a quote that a lot of people say, you can determine what a man loves by looking at his bank account. Right? So you can stroll through somebody's bank account and see what they spend the most money on. You can say, yeah, I'm pretty sure they like that thing because they're continually spending money on that. So I want you to kind of look at the bank account of your life, right? And what keeps popping up? What keeps popping up in your life? What are you valuing? What are you putting first, right? So we've already kind of been through some of the things in here before that we can kind of put above God, right? That we can kind of chase after instead of chasing after God. So I just kind of threw a couple up, right? So we'll just throw these up. And you got social media, right? You got social status, approval of others, relationships. So those are just kind of common things that we can kind of value those things more, right? So if we look at our time, if we did a little time search of how we spent our day and what we're spending our time on, right? How much time would there be for you spending versus social media versus God or prayer time versus playing on games or, you know, talking to friends, trying to build relationships or whatever. So sometimes we can say I love God, right? And I want to pursue him. I want to chase him. But sometimes our actions are leading us into other places. If we would look at our time, we would say, man, it's not adding up. Right? So we'll say that. We can even say for a lot of us, right, that I have grown up in church, right? I've asked you guys before, man, you guys been through e-kids, been through pre-kids, been through the whole shebang, right? The whole shebang. Where's Matthew at? Oh, he's not in here. We've been through the whole thing, so we've heard the stories, we've heard the analogies, we've heard everything, right? So we can kind of do the actions, right? So we can kind of, have the look like we're running after God, or we can have the look like we're doing everything, right? But on the inside, right, our hearts can be kind of removed from that because we're just kind of doing man, this is what I'm supposed to do. You know, Pastor Romy said I should do this, so I'm doing it. Or my mom said I should do this, so this is what I'm doing. This is what the expectation is. Right? So sometimes we can kind of get into that trap too of even though I'm doing the actions, right? I'm saying I love God and I'm walking this out, but on the inside, my heart is kind of far away from what I'm doing, right? It's not necessarily matching up. So you got those, so you can live in those kind of two worlds where you say, man, I love God, right? I love God, but I'm not really, chasing him. And you can live in a world where you say, man, I love God, but my actions are lining up with that, but then, man, my heart is not lining up with it. But if God would examine my heart, would my heart be alive? We were singing today in the prayer meeting, man, Jesus, you make me come alive. Right? Could we say that about our hearts, that, man, when we talk about Jesus and we remember what he's done, does he make us come alive? Or is it that we've heard it again? Man, we've heard the story again, right? And we kind of just let it creep over. Right, so Zach, he's going to click for me. He's going to help me out. Hit for me twice. All right, so we've got this picture up right behind me. And it's a picture of Adam and God, right? And I've shown this picture in here before. But, man, the visual is just, I can't escape it, so I love it. I'll keep using it. But, again, man, you see God, right? You see God. He's coming with all of heaven, right? He's coming. He's outstretched. He's trying so hard to reach after Adam, right? And it's that's who God is, right? That's And he pursues with everything he is. Man, he pursued us to the point that it brought him to a cross, right? That he wanted to bring us back. He wanted to redeem us. And so he pursued us to the point of death is the love of God, right? So you can even look at John 3:16, right, man? He said, man, I'm leaving my throne to come for you. Right, throwing condemnation to the side. He said, man, I'm not coming to condemn. I'm throwing that to the side, but I'm coming, right, to love you, to teach you. And I'm going to put on flesh, right? I want to die for you because I want to make that a permanent thing. Like, I'm coming after you. And he's been saying it from the beginning. From the very beginning, he's been saying, and I'm looking down at heaven, right? Looking for those who will understand, who will seek after me. Because, I mean, he's seeking after us. I mean, he's always been coming. Right, because what did the Bible say, right? Before the foundations of the world were laid, he already had a plan in place to come and save us. Right? He was already thinking of it before the beginning that he was going to come and save us. And we talked about it here before, at the very beginning, even when Adam sinned, right at the beginning, he had a plan in place that he said a lot that he was coming to save us, that God's pursuit of man, I mean, he is always pursuing mankind. And then you look at Adam, right? Look at my man Adam, chilling in the cut, right? So he's just kind of like, meh, right? He's just kind of got like a meh attitude about it, right? Because here's the thing about the picture. If Adam would just stretch out his finger, he would, what? He would touch God, right? If he would just stretch his finger out, right? And if he would turn around, he would embrace him. You know, like if he would turn and run towards God, he would run into him. He would encounter him. So, I mean, that's what we have happening. But sometimes, you know, like we can kind of be like Adam in this picture where like we know the story. I mean, and the position of who God is never changes, like he's ever pursuing us. That's never, ever going to change, even if we change. But when you look at this picture, man, like how do you see yourself? Is it just kind of like, meh, towards God and his pursuit and everything he's coming with? Or, man, are you want to come around to, like, are you pursuing him back, right? So we'll read a quick quote from Max Lucado, and it just simply says, isn't that the message of the Bible? The relentless pursuit of God, God on the hunt, God in search. So when we were reading that definition earlier today about pursuing, man, that defines who God is. And when you're talking about pursuing and going after, I would say that the definition of pursue would have to apply to God. Because he came, right, to overtake man. He came and there was nothing that was going to stop him from redeeming us. There was nothing that was going to stop him from bringing us back into right position. Into the right place and right relationship with him. There was nothing that was going to stop that man. So when I look at that definition of pursuit, man, I see God. And so when I see that, I'm like, man, God, your love is so great. Your love is so steadfast. I mean, your love is so deep. Your love is so wide that we're literally, what, swimming in an ocean of grace. We're literally swimming in his love. And the crazy thing about it is that, man, he died for us when we were enemies of him. Like, some of us don't even like thinking about those who might have said something wrong about us. Like, we put them to the side. We cut them off for life. But when we were enemies of God, he says, I'm coming to die for you. I'm coming to lavish my grace upon you. That's what I'm coming to do. Even though you have no desire yet, I'm coming so you can have the desire, right? So he pursued us to the point so we can, he kind of made a way for us to pursue him back. And God did that. So when I think about all those things, the question that comes to my heart is, man, like, man, God, I want to pursue you back in the same way. God, I want to pursue you back in the same way. And so you would look at us and be like, look what God did. How can we, like, return that back? How can we chase after him like the way that he chased after us? Right? But again, man, he's given us a spirit for that to be possible. Right, he's made a way for us to pursue him back. To where there was a wall before, there is no wall. Now we're invited in. There's a way for us to pursue God just the way that he pursues us. And man, I don't know about you guys, but man, it's stirring in my heart to pursue after him. A relentless pursuit back towards him. I'm not talking about perfection. Because we all know, like, man, we're going to slip, we're going to fall. But my relentlessness comes to the fact that I'm going to get back up and keep running after him. Like, I don't want to quit. Like, I don't have a desire to stop. Despite what may happen to me, what may happen to family, whatever, like, I will not stop running after you, God, because of what you've done. So that's the question we got to ask, man. How can we become passionate for Christ like he is for us? So Zach's going to throw that up on the screen so we can all see that. Just kind of, again, reflect on it together, man. How can we have that passion like how he does for us, man, and go after him. Right, so, and this is where I kind of find like, you know, I feel like we kind of land at. So we're going to read Revelation chapter 2, which is two verses. We're going to read this and just kind of dissect it a little bit. But it just says, man, I know your works, and this is Jesus talking to the church, and you toil and your patient endurance and how you cannot bear with those who are evil but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not and found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently, bearing up for my namesake, and you have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love that you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent, and do the works that you did before. So you would look at this church, right? I mean, this would be a church like I would want to go to, because they were doing everything right. Well, everything right if you're like considering a church, right? They were rejecting sin. They were judging, right? The apostles, they were doing everything right. As far as like, man, the actions go, everything was on point, right? You would look at that and be like, man, I wish I could do half those things, right? But what does Jesus say, man? You're doing this, you're bearing up for my name's sake, you're not growing weary. And then at the end, he's like, man, it's this one thing that I want, though. Like, all your actions are awesome. But what I want is what? I want the love, right? And people think about God, they're like, man, I can't follow God because there's too many rules. Like, so here's these guys following rules, and what does God say, man? He looks right at the heart, and he's like, I want the love. That's what I desire. I want the love behind what you're doing. Because the truth is, like, I mean, people used to get married back in the day, and it wasn't for love. They just got married because that's what you do, right? Build a family, got to work the farm, got to have kids. That's what they did, right? So I can say for me and my wife, we can get together. I can be like, hey, we can do this. You know, it's better if we have two incomes. Like, I mean, but there could be no love behind it, right? If my wife found out that I was bringing her flowers every Tuesday, oh, that's so sweet. But if she found out that I was just doing that, right, just to do it, get it off my checklist, right, and then move over, give the next person flowers on the next Wednesday, right? You know, like, you know, there's no love behind that action, right? There's no love behind that. But what she wants is the love. Flowers are nice to come. I mean, that's awesome. I give my wife flowers like once every week. I mean, that's awesome. But I bet she would want the love. That's what she would desire, right? We don't want people just doing stuff to do stuff for us. I mean, we want people to love us if we're in a relationship with them. I mean, it's the same way with God. And he wants to love behind what we're doing, right? So I just want to say, man, do you remember how excited you were when you first met Jesus? Like the first time, like, you actually, like, you know, were changed, transformed by him, you know, when you first knew that first time it happened, right? You know, like, I don't know about you guys, but, like, when it first came, you know, I told you guys I grew up in a church, but, like, when it was real for me, when it became real, like, man, it changed my life. It changed who I was, and, like, wherever I went, like, you were going to hear about Jesus. Like, I wasn't obnoxious about it, but I was in love, right? So it's kind of like, man, your first couple of nights with your booski, you're like, oh, man, hang up, you hang up. No, you hang up. No, I don't want to hang up. I want to hear your voice. So you hang up. All right, let's hang up together, right? You know, so, like, you start doing, like, some cheesy stuff. People are like, come on, man, come on, calm down, man. You know, like, when I, you know, my boy said I was whipped when I met Courtney. You know, they was just jealous stuff, but whatever. They said I was whipped. They said I was in love too fast, right, because I was just holding hands, we were skipping through Evangel Court. No, we weren't skipping. I don't skip. You know, I'm from Jersey. We don't skip there. I'm just joking. But, I mean, there's this thing that happens, like, when you're in love. You can't help it. It's just bubbling over. And so I can remember, like, when I first met Jesus and how he changed my life. And, like, now I remember going up to a friend, and he was, like, my best friend, right? He was actually, like, the pastor's son. We grew up together. And I remember telling him, like, man, listen, you're going to go to hell. You'll get your life together, right? So you're like, well, dang, Romy, calm down, man. So, but it wasn't, like, out of, like, hate or anything, right? You know, don't go tell your friends that. That's not an effective way to evangelize, so please don't go do that. I'm just saying, like, there was just an excitement about it. Like, you know, like, man, you were just doing it, right? The Spirit of God been carrying on. You just doing it, man. And so, like, I remember that. I remember being in love with God, man. And it changes who you are, and it changes your life. So, man, God was like, man, I want you to come back to that. Right? If we can look through all the scripture, we're going to just throw one up, but you can look so many times through, but God is like, man, I want the love. It's what I'm desiring. So Hosea 6:6, it says, for I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God, rather than burnt offerings. So if you're familiar with the Old Testament, they had sacrifices that they had to do, right? They had offerings that they had to give. And what God was saying, he was like, man, I've had enough of your sacrifices because they're just actions. You're just doing them. He's like, man, I want the love behind what you're doing. Like, I want you to, like, to know me. Like, we're talking about knowing. We're talking, like an intimacy of an intimate thing. Knowing God that only comes through, like, pursuing him. Right? Now, again, nobody knows my wife the way that I know her. Right? And you can say vice versa. You can say that for Aaron and for Lauren. You can say that for couples who are married together. Right? There's an intimacy that happens that's not going to happen outside of marriage. So, I mean, God is inviting us in, right, to be intimate with him, to pursue him, and to know him. Like, he wants that steadfast love. It's what he wants. He doesn't want just the actions of things, man. He wants the love behind the actions. So this is when I was thinking on everything, here's my statement that I kind of was like, man, I wanna say this for everybody. It just says, man, loving God and knowing him, like just how we just read in those two verses, loving God and knowing him only comes through encountering him. Loving God and knowing him, intimate knowing him, only comes through encountering him. Right? And again, I said, man, it's the encounter is what changes us, right? And when we encounter God, it's such when we start doing things that are uncommon to people, right? They're uncommon when people look at them, right? Just like I told you, like when you're in that relationship, you start doing weird things, right? For me, like me moving from, you know, Jersey to Springfield, right, twice, people looked at us like, man, you are loco, right? Again, I told you guys about, like, man, I've taken jobs where that I've had to decrease my pay greatly, right? To follow God, like to pursue him. Right? But and people say, man, you guys are crazy. Like, what is wrong with you? And it'd be other Christians, but we're like, man, we've encountered God, so I'm going to follow him. Like, I'm going to pursue after him, whatever the cost. And even if my ways look uncommon to you, it's what God is desiring for me. So, man, I'm going to follow. Right? So people start looking at you weird, like, man, what's up, man? Like, that don't seem like the logic thing to do. Like, yeah, it isn't the logic thing to do. It's called following God. Holla at your boy, right? So, I mean, these things kind of happen. Right? So we're going to read a little story about this woman who met Jesus, right? And she did some uncommon thing, right? She encountered him, and some uncommon thing happened, right? So that's where we are in your Bibles, right? So we're in Luke chapter 7. And I told you to turn there earlier. We're down in verse 36 is where we're at. And we're going to read the story about this sinful woman. Don't you know that title? If you ever wanted to be in the Bible, that's what I wanted to be. The sinful man. All right, so here we go. One of the Pharisees asked him, that being Jesus, with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment, and standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with tears and wiped them with the hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. All right, so if we could just stop right there. You could be like, okay. All right, so this woman came in. She's crying behind Jesus, right? She's crying at his feet, and then her tears are wetting his feet, and then she cleans them with her hair, all right? So we'll keep tracking with the story. You're already like, yo, what's going on? All right, here we go. Now, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this and said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who was touching him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he answered, say it, teacher. A certain moneylender had two debtors, one owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon answered, the one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt. And then he said to him, you have judged rightly. Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I have entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head in oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. All right, so we can look at that just that quick story about that young lady, right? And you can be like, all right, that's a strange event. And it wasn't just strange for us looking back into history, but it was strange for around the table where that was happening that too. Right, for this woman to come in, right, she's crying on Jesus' feet, and she's wiping them with her tears, and then she anoints them with her feet. And so, again, like you look at it, you're like, man, Jesus didn't say, man, like, you got to clean my feet for you to be forgiven. Like, he didn't say that, but that was just her response to something that happened to her. That was her response to something that happened in her life when she encountered God, right? It says that she encountered his forgiveness. And so out of that, she gives this response where she's anointing his feet. And we can talk about feet during that time. Like, they were like nasty, man. Like, nobody had socks on. Nobody was walking around in Jordans. Like, that was not happening. Like, you're walking around with some sandals and some dirt and animal stuff all around. So your feet were, like, disgusting, right? But this woman, out of her love, right, out of her love, like, she's greatly forgiven. And this is how she responds to Jesus. I mean, because she realizes the depth of how she's been forgiven. She realizes that, man, there's something that's happened in my life that's, this is a drastic thing. And so her response may look drastic, but something in our life has absolutely been rocked and changed forever. It's now what Jesus turned to him, like, man, your sins are forgiven. So again, man, when we look at us, man, like man, what's our response to when we encounter God? Like, again, man, that's like, meh. Like, eh. Like, you know, it really doesn't matter. But or is our response kind of like that young woman, man, when we go all out because we know that we've encountered the living God? And then we can say, man, everybody knows Zacchaeus, right? My man Zacchaeus, right? You can sing this song with me. Zacchaeus was. And a wee little man was he. All right, so my man Zacchaeus, everybody has heard that story from the time that they were little, right? But, man, I like Zacchaeus because my man, he climbed up that tree, right? He pursued after Jesus. He wanted to see Jesus. He climbed that tree, right? And what people don't know, man, like, Zacchaeus was, like, he was hated by everybody. Like, he was, like, the worst among sinners, right? Like, he stole from his own people. Like, my man, like, you're going to be hated when you're stealing from your own ethnic group, right? Like, that's some shady stuff. All right, Zach's going to throw it up for me on the screen. All right, so, but what people don't know is, like, man, Jesus sees him, right, calls him down to his home. He comes to his home, and Jesus never tells him, like, man, this is what I want you to do. I want you to sell all your stuff. Jesus never tells him that. But after he encounters Jesus, man, he stands up in his house, man, salvation's come to his house. He's like, Jesus, man, I'm giving half my stuff to the poor, and if I took money from anybody, I'm going to repay him over four times. Like, that was just his response to meeting and encountering Jesus, right? So, again, here's another person who's realized what's happened. And then you look at his actions. You were saying, man, like, again, Jesus never told him. Just like he never told that woman, like, this is what I want you to do, right, to get salvation. Never did it. But something happens when he encountered God that he responded back in such a way, right? So, for us, man, I just want to say that I don't want to ever forget that, man, that there was a point in time where we were dead in our sins. Like, there was a time when we didn't know Jesus. Like, there was a time when, like, you know how the Bible describes walking in sin, being dead to sin. I mean, like we were obedient to Satan. Like, Zach's going to throw these up for me on the screen. We were obedient to Satan. Go back. There you go. Like, we were absent from Christ, like, walking in darkness. I mean, like, that was our life before knowing Jesus. I mean, like, and it's, I'm not saying, like, man, that's, I want to just kind of, you know, just remember it to remember it, but there was a time when I didn't know Jesus, and that was not a good time in my life. And I don't want to ever forget the depth at which I've been forgiven and loved and, like, what happened in my life when he came in. Like, I don't want to forget that. And I want that to forever stand and to forever change me to run after him. So I want to ask you, man, like, do you remember the first time you met Jesus? Like, do you remember that? You remember that first time? And, like, what it was like? And, like, what you felt on the inside? And, like, man, what you wanted to do? Like, you know, some of us are like, man, I wanted to go to Africa and build a church. Like, you know, like, but it's just something inside of you, man, that just kind of just welled up, man, when you met him. Had you responded in such a way that you, like, man, God, I want to go after you. I want to do the things that you're doing. Right? I mean, that's kind of how it was. So I just want to, man, I'll call you, man, to remember. Like, do you remember that? Do you remember the first time that you met him? How that changed your life. Remember the day before that. Remember the times before that. And then remember the day that you met him. Because I can even say for me, man, like, there was nothing but hate in my heart before I met Jesus. Like, remember, I thought you grew up in a church. Yep. Like, it was darkness in my heart. Like, I used to get, like, blackout angry. Like, you're like, Roman, you were not an angry dude. Like, it was like, I had, like, anger. I was so angry. Like, you crossed me, you crossed my family, like, that was your life. Like, you know, I've kind of shared some stories about my past, but, like, man, it was just darkness, man. But the time that I met Jesus, man, he just radically changed my life to where, like, man, I'm not who I used to be. And like, man, I want to run after the guy that could cause that to happen to me. I want to be near that guy. It's kind of like that guy who had all those demons in him, those legions of demons, And when Jesus takes him out, he's like, Jesus, I want to be with you. Like, I want to be with the guy who just healed me of all this darkness. Like, I want to be with that guy. That's who I want to follow. I want to be near that guy. I want to run after him. I want to chase him. Right? Because if he could do that for me, like, if I give him my life, then what else can he do? So here's what Jesus calls us to do. Three things that we read from Revelation. All right, that we want to remember, that we want to repent, and we want to return. That he calls us to remember where we came from, realize that, to repent, and to return back to him, to turn back towards him. So listen, I'm going to end this way before we get into our response time. I'm just going to read these last couple verses. And it's Paul, he's speaking to Timothy. And Timothy's a young dude, shy preacher, young, you know, just starting out, young cat. He's not too confident in what he's doing. There's older people around him that he's probably going to have to lead. And so Paul, you know, speaking to him, and he just kind of gives him this charge. And I kind of want to be like your Paul today. Because you guys are young, right? You might be a little timid in the faith. You might be like, not too confident in things. But I just kind of want to, like, lead you in this charge over you. So let me say this over you. All right, so this is 1 Timothy 6, 11 to 14. It says this, but as for you, O man of God. All right, so as for you, O young people here in the factory. All right, flee these things. All right, so he was talking about previous, like, flee sin. And then he says, pursue righteousness. Pursue godliness. Pursue faith. Pursue love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith and take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you in the presence of God who gives life to all things and of Christ Jesus who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm gonna lay that charge down for everybody in the room today, all right? So I'm like Paul, you're like Timothy. So I'm charging you guys in this room today to pursue godliness, to pursue righteousness, to pursue gentleness, right? To pursue faith, right? I want you to take hold of the eternal life that you've been given. I want you to fight the good fight of faith, right? There's some action on our part, right? But I'm going to encourage you in this. This is what I'm calling you to as your pastor, man. I want you to pursue these things. I want you to run after them because, man, we have to set our heart towards it. We have to set our heart towards the things of God and have to go toward it. Listen, it's not going to be an emotional feeling. You're not going to get all googly inside and all of a sudden you're going to be right. It's not going to happen. If you're waiting for that to happen, you're going to wait till you die. Like, it's not going to happen. Set your mind towards these things and go for it. And allow God to do what he does in transforming us. It's him working out the things in us, right? His will that he's working out in us. Man, but it's our choice to go. It's our choice to pursue and to run after. So I'm gonna charge you guys, man, run after it. You're like, Romy, man, that's a lot of things that you just told us to do, all right? You just went down a long list, Romy. Can you break it down? All right, I'm gonna say this. Pursue Jesus to be king in your lives. That's it. Pursue him to be king and receive everything that comes underneath him being king. Pursue Jesus to be king in your lives and you receive everything that comes underneath him being a king. All right, so everything that we would ever need is found in Jesus. So if we're saying, man, I'm a member in his kingdom, I get to receive the benefits of him being king. If he's king, then what he says goes, right? It's usually not a democracy in a kingdom, one person. So let Jesus be the king in your life, all right? So as we get ready to stand up and pray, as Nathaniel gets ready to come up here and lay the smack down on some worship, and if we could all just kind of bow our heads, everybody just kind of bow your heads, and I'm just going to read these three responses over you, and we're just going to kind of, we're going to probably work our way through them and just kind of pray through them before we get into some worship. All right, so Zach's going to throw up those three responses, but you guys can keep your heads down and keep your eyes closed. I'm gonna read through them and we're gonna pray through them. All right, so just the first one, like I said, man, that God calls us just to acknowledge where we are with him. I want you to think about that picture that we had up there with Adam and God. I want you to visualize that picture, and I just want you to think about where you are in your relationship with God and your pursuit of him. I just want you to acknowledge where you are. And next thing that we're going to do is that we're going to repent. That simply means just turning away from our own pursuing. So going our own way, doing our own thing. Those things we're going to turn away from. And then we're going to return. It's part where we go back towards God. It's where we pursue Him. Pursue Him back. So I'm going to pray over these things, and we're just going to do it all together. So with every head bowed, with every eye closed, let's work through this together.